You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 1-18-22. Well, gold prices seem to be holding up better. Same with silver. Gold trading over 1800 since the beginning of the year. Silver trading at or near $23. You know, it seemed to be bouncing off that $23 mark. And we wanted to touch base with our good friend, Brian Lenny. You know him well, juniorstockreview.com. Hey, Brian, first, happy and healthy to you and yours. Hopefully 22 will be a better year than 21, but that remains to be seen. In the meantime, precious metals markets, what is your take?
Thanks for having me, Kerry. Precious metals, you know, last year or going into last year, we just had come off, you know, a really strong 2020. And, you know, with the weakness, you know, that we saw to start the year and then started to pick up mid-year, I really thought things were going to get better, all things considered. And then to end the year, it was, you know, a disaster, especially if you're invested in the junior companies. But from a gold perspective, you know, we did see some weakness around, you know, $1,700. And I think that weakness was actually a good thing. You know, that prolonged weakness after such a strong, you know, 6 or 7 months in 2020 was probably needed. There was a lot of money raised. There's a lot of money that came into the system. And, you know, a lot of that had to be shaken out. So I think it sets up really well for 2022. I think the strength that we've seen in the gold prices to start the year, considering that the U.S. Federal Reserve is telegraphing a rate hike, or at least one rate hike in the first probably half of this year, I think things look really good and I'm encouraged. And considering, you know, all the debt and, you know, this is the, you know, the financial system being in somewhat disarray, and, you know, lockdowns are still a thing. You know, here I'm in Canada, lockdowns are still a thing here. You know, parts of the US, I've heard, you know, there's different restrictions, not all of the US. But you know, this pandemic isn't fully behind us yet. And I think, considering, you know, where the economy is, you know, that's not a good thing. And typically when the economy is bad or things are bad, people flock to gold as a safe haven. And I think that 2022 is that year that precious metals come back. I don't know exactly when this year it'll happen, but I'm pretty optimistic.
All right. Well, you know, what do you think the best case for gold is? Like, why should it come back for the year? Why should it come screaming back?
I just think, you know, just considering where we are, you know, I think even if they're going to do these rate hikes, I think with the amount of debt in the system, the market isn't going to take it well. And if it's not the market, it's, you know, it's the people not that don't even participate in the market are going to begin to complain. The people that have went out and spent $1 million on a home, the people that have, you know, large amounts of debt, even though it's 0.25%, I think that it'll spook a lot of people and politicians. It'll become a political thing. And you know, I think it's in the mathematics already just with the amount of debt, but I think it becomes political. And with especially in the States, you know, with the midterms coming up this year, I think that I'd be really surprised if they go full bore with the rate hikes. And ergo, I think that, you know, the market or the smart money that's looking at precious metals can see the writing on the wall. And I think that's why we've seen, you know, the break above $1,800 per ounce, specifically in the gold price. People can see that, you know, the Fed's really handcuffed in what they can do. And I think that's the reason kind of for my optimism. But, you know, anything can happen. That's one thing I've learned is that don't get ahead of myself and don't count on it, and make my choices in what I invest in based on, you know, other things. And if the metal price rises, that's a bonus. So,
all right. Well, that sounds reasonable and I tend to agree with it, but I wonder, I've heard the theory that when interest rates start going up, then gold prices go up as well, because then you really start getting a kick up in loan demand, which we haven't really seen private loan demand take off much in the States.
Yeah, you know what? I think the market can take you know, it can take any side of the coin that it wants. What's most likely? I'm not even sure that I know. I can see reasoning on both sides. I can see that, you know, the rate hikes, I think that you could say that, oh yeah, the market sees the rate hikes as reason to believe that there's inflation and it's going to be sustained inflation. And therefore, with money debasing or losing its value, then you need to buy hard assets, and gold being a great one, you know, being real money. The other side of the coin is that loose interest rates or lowering interest rates, again, loose money causes debasement, or however you want to look at it. And there, ergo, you need to buy gold. So in either case, I can see a reason why you want to buy gold. But the market is always forward looking from what I can tell. And it's they're pretty quick to make a judgment. So to me, it's kind of, I think it's baked in the cake. The market's saying that, yeah, we see that they're going to raise interest rates, but you know what? They're not going to be able to raise it enough to really impact it. And, we see inflation moving forward. And so ergo, I think, you know, those gold prices are going to continue to rise. And I think it sets up really well for the junior companies. If you're into that type of thing, because the junior companies have taken it on the chin over the last, you know, good 8 months, and I think are ripe to move forward, at least the ones that are going to have success in this first half of the year, you know, they keep on moving their cash up and keep on moving their company successfully ahead.
Yeah. So, and I think that that's probably so. I'm always skeptical that that they're going to raise interest rates. You know, they can say whatever they want to say, but the reality is, you know, certain forces are in play, and there's not much they can do to stop it. So where do we look at? Are the majors? We need to see the majors kind of take off. They're making record amounts of money right now, record cash flow. And the mid-tier producers, same thing, but this hasn't translated into higher share prices. The market regularly yawns at increased production rates for these companies, and when the juniors make discoveries, when they expand their resources, when they put out their PEAs and PFSs, nobody seems to care anymore, Brian.
Yawn. Yeah, I think it depends. I think that it depends on how you invest. It depends on the person that you are. But I can speak for myself. So I'm interested in the sub-$1 billion market cap companies, the juniors. I'll take a look at the seniors and see how they're doing and kind of, you know, gauge. It's more of a sense of what's going on in the market. I think the large miners have been making great, great money, and they certainly have. Gold at $1,800, you know, most of these companies have a nice profit margin. The thing is, I think some of them are starting to see inflation. If you look at the oil price, which translates into the gas price, diesel price, I think these guys are starting to feel that. And from the last time I looked, which is the end of November, you started to see the operating costs rise. And so those profits, while still very good, weren't maybe necessarily as good as they were in, you know, late 2020 or even early 21. I don't necessarily think that's why the market hasn't recognized. I think that the majors typically, interest in the metal price is probably a bigger component to interest in maybe the general market and the amount of risk that, you know, the funds or whoever's the main investors in those big companies. For the juniors, for me, I think that if you're invested in the right company and have a good differential on the like price to value ratio, and the company has, you know, they're willing to get out there and market the company. And of course they need success along with it. If they're an exploration company, they need to be hitting, you know, or getting good results, making discoveries, expanding, mineralization. I think if they're doing that, I think in this year in particular, I think that they're going to get recognized by the market. I do tend to think that the amount of sellers has dramatically decreased over the last 8 months. I think that kind of blowout that we saw probably about three instances, probably September, one in November, and then that it wasn't even really a finale in December, but 3 points in the market or the last 6 months where we saw significant selling. And I think that was mainly driven by tax loss slash, you know, the people that are momentum chasers or, you know, the fly by night investors in the sector. I think that's them getting out. And then I think we're going to see people come back in. And the people that are left are the hardcore guys. And that's right. And I think that, you know, good companies are going to be recognized, even though they necessarily weren't, because you're right. I think a lot of the good news last year was used as a liquidity event, meaning, you know, longtime investors were using the volume associated with good news to sell positions and decrease risk or take profits, however you want to look at it. So I think, you know, brand new year, I think that, you know, that's that side of the market is behind us. And I think that the companies that have money and are going to work and get good results, I think you're going to see an appreciation. And I think you're going to see people hold on to the companies. And that's at least the way I see it. And I think that if you've insulated yourself enough, you know, pick the right companies and have that good price to value ratio, I think you set yourself up really well to do well in 2022.
All right. So what about cryptocurrencies and their impact upon the metals markets? How big do you think it is? And is it maybe exaggerated?
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Today's show is brought to you by Mustango River Resources. Their flagship projects are located in Kirkland Lake, an established gold camp that has historically produced over 70 million ounces of gold. The Kirkland West Project is a high-grade gold project beside Kirkland Lake Gold's world-class Macassa Gold Mine, one of the highest-grade mines in the world. Umeja Project is an advanced stage project with 600,000-plus ounces of gold along the Cadillac Break, 25 kilometers east of Macassa. Their projects have the potential to transform into another world-class mining camp in the Kirkland Lake District. Make sure you go over to mistango.com. That's mistango.com. Take a look and sign up for notifications. Stock is traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange, ticker symbol MIS. For more information and to sign up for notifications, go to mistango.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
That's a good question. You know what I would say? I'd say without a doubt, it has an impact. And I think it's on a certain demographic. I would say that, you know, the probably 20 to 40-ish year old investor that's got some disposable cash, I think that without a doubt, the crypto market stole some of that, you know, mojo that the gold market would probably have in the past. The crypto is exceptionally well marketed by a number of different people that have, you know, interests. And when you get that much popularity, not only in my experience is it a mark of a high, but to me, it becomes, when it's that promotional, then you probably should stay away. So I think that a lot of investors, you know, they stayed home during the lockdowns, they got their $600 checks, and their money went into stuff like AMC and GameStop and probably some Bitcoin and avoided the gold market altogether. So So I think without a doubt, it has an impact. I think Bitcoin and cryptos is a glimpse of the future. You know, obviously, I think it's obvious to me that we're headed towards a crypto world or a digital world, and the paper money is only a matter of time before it's gone. And so it's a glimpse of what the future holds.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, everything's coming up crypto, and there's a lot of reasons that really argue for it. But it's a transition, just like the transition from internal combustion engines to electric vehicles. It's kind of the same type of transition.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, like also I can definitely see the writings on the wall, but also that makes me that much more focused on owning real things, gold and silver being one of them. Having a physical money in my pocket, I think is that much more important. You know, governments, well, they can come for it, but, you know, they're going to have trouble coming for it. But I think having stuff out of the digital realm is a must. And that's one of those points where I think owning gold is a big point. And the other side to it is, you know, I don't own gold for its price to necessarily go up. I don't look to make money off like a rising gold price. I buy gold as insurance against, you know, financial calamity. And then second point to the digitalization of our lives. And I think owning real things matters. And that's my perspective on that.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming on. So we find you at juniorstockreview.com.
Yes, juniorstockreview.com. I've got the premium newsletter. It's published weekly. And it's basically a glimpse into what I'm buying in the market, my buys and sells. I list those weekly, what I'm doing, and answer any question that you guys have. I love to connect with my readers and make sure that they're getting full value. So please check it out.
All right. Hey, any questions for Brian? Just shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. A link to Brian's site is in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. Brian, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.